Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Much to pray about this week, Sister Ruthie. Since we are in our prayers, we love you. Praying God give you peace. Amen. Sister Bree, you're in our prayers. Amen. We're praying God bless you with a healthy child, healthy baby. Amen. We're thankful for Brother Jacob, Sister Maddie's beautiful baby. I was just looking back there, sis. I said, Lord, you can do it for them. You can do it for us. Ain't you glad that God's no respecter of persons today? Amen. He's good. He's great, and he's greatly to be praised. Stand with me if you're able for reverence to God's word tonight. Amen. If you turn in your Bibles with me to the Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon. Amen. The second chapter and the 10th verse. Song of Solomon, the second chapter and the 10th verse. I'd like to begin a little series tonight, something the Lord placed on my heart about a year ago. And just kind of been waiting for what I felt was the right time. Amen. But I feel in my spirit it's a good time for this series. And so tonight I want to embark on that. And I'd like to take your attention to the book of the Song of Solomon. Amen. And the second chapter and the 10th verse, when you get there, say amen. If you don't have a Bible, the words are up on the screens to my right and my left. If you need a Bible, please see us. We want you to have a Bible. Amen. We want you to be able to have the Lord speak to you through his wonderful word. How many know the word of God is wonderful? It's marvelous. It's deep and it's rich. Amen. And it can change your life, amen. And we're so thankful for the word of the Lord tonight. The Song of Solomon, the second chapter and the 10th verse. Amen. The word of the Lord, amen, says, my beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The flowers appear upon the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs. The vines with her tender grape give forth a good smell. Arise, my love. Arise, my fair one, and come away. Amen. The Song of Solomon is a love story. Really gives us some insight for the love that the Lord has towards his church. How many know we are the bride of Christ? How many know he loves nothing like he does his church? Amen. He loves nothing like he does his church. Amen. And we're so thankful to be the bride of Christ. Amen. Tonight I want to embark on a little series. Tonight I'd like to do part one. I want to speak to you. Amen. On this topic, spiritual seasons. How many know God does not operate in hours and days and years and moments and minutes, and God operates in seasons. And he's not bound by time like we are. How many know, Brother Joe, time's not on our side? Time's not on our side. Every day we live, Brother Doug, we're closer to the grave or closer to eternity. Amen. I figured that out when I started losing my hair at a very young age. I realized that time was not on my side. Time doesn't have to be on our side as long as the Lord is. As long as the Lord is. But God doesn't operate in hours and minutes and days and weeks. He operates, amen, in seasons. And that's what I'd like to speak to this body about in this little series of spiritual seasons. I think it's one of the most crucial things that every child of God needs to understand, because I have watched, I've been ministering the word of the Lord since I was 21 years old. I've been pastoring now, it's coming up on our ninth year. And I have watched many people not understand seasons. And tonight I want to speak into this body And I want to, I really believe that this is one of the most crucial things that every child of God needs to understand. And that is that there are spiritual seasons. All right. And there are spiritual seasons. And I hope to get into your heart and into your mind and into your spirit tonight. Amen. I want to speak to you about spiritual seasons tonight. I'd like to do part one. I want to talk about springtime, the season of growth. Amen. Could you clap your hands unto the Lord all over this house tonight? Amen. As you're seated in Jesus' name. Amen. Springtime. Amen. The season of growth. I realize tonight that I'm a few weeks late. We just jumped into summer full force, and it's been hot. It's been real hot. Last week I called my mom just to make sure that her and dad wasn't out in the heat because they're hard-headed, and they just don't like to realize that you got to be careful with the heat. But we jumped into summer full force, but tonight I want to talk a little bit about spring. Amen. I want to correspond some things from between the natural and the spiritual. And how many know there's just something special about springtime? Every year, without fail, Sister Jamie, early in the year, as the winter begins to pass and the sun begins to heat up and the flowers begin to bloom, I look for that first day that I get to drive around in my truck with my windows down. It's something I look to. Call me crazy. It's the little things, right? But every year I look forward, Brother Ken, to that first time that I get to drive around in my truck because the weather is so beautiful that you get to enjoy it and you just get to listen to the birds sing and the wind blow. And you just get to enjoy, amen. It's almost like God just shines a little bit of his glory on you, amen. And some of you, maybe you're not as old as I am, but eventually you will begin to enjoy those things, all right? And it's those little things that matter. There's something very special about springtime. As the months of cold, barren trees and frozen ground, amen, and crisp air and all these things begin to come to pass, suddenly everything begins to change. Things begin to turn green. Flowers begin to pop forth out of the ground. One of my favorite things about our other building was every single year, I looked out front to that old John Deere mailbox, and I loved how that my dad had planted all of those Easter lilies around that mailbox. And I love those little green shoots beginning to come out of the ground. And within a day or two, amen, Easter lilies were in full bloom. Amen. There's just something very special about springtime. The green shoots through the soil and flowers begin to bloom and birds begin to sing. And how many love when the days begin to get a little bit longer and you ain't feeling like you need to go to bed at 6 o'clock? Amen. There's just something wonderful about springtime. Amen. There's something that seems abnormal about when it's dark outside at 6:30. I could never live in Alaska. I couldn't go with months at a time, darkness and things of such. I want a little bit. I just don't have enough time the way it is, Brother Eddie. And I like when those evenings get a little bit longer. And there's just something special about springtime. Amen. The days get longer, and what used to appear as dead, amen, all of a sudden begins to live again. It appears to have some life, right? That's the beauty of springtime. Amen. That's the beauty of growth. Amen. Things begin to live again, and spring reminds us that God is the author of new beginnings. How many know that tonight? God is the author of new beginnings, church. And listen to me tonight. The enemy may tell you that your life is over. The enemy may tell you that your family is beyond repair. The enemy may tell you that your walk with God will never be what it once was. Amen. But God specializes tonight, church, in spring, in bringing springtime to places that have been in long, hard winters. Come on, where everything appears to be dead and everything appears to be dwindling and everything appears to be going away. Amen. But God operates in seasons and he brings about a new season of springtime and life begins to burst forth and green begins to come and flowers begin to shoot and birds begin to sing. And God is reminding us, amen, it ain't dead until I say it's dead. And it ain't over until I say it's over. Come on, you just need to understand it's a season and it's going to come to pass. And I'm going to bring forth life again because that's what I do. He's the author of new beginnings. Amen. And the enemy's good at lying to us. Amen. The enemy's good at telling us that we're never going to recover. Things are never going to be the same. I've made mistakes in my life. Amen, that I thought my life would never be the same. I thought I would never recover. I thought I would never live in the fullness of what God had intended for me. I've seen moments in my life where my seasons got so dark and the trees and everything appeared so dead. Amen, that I thought I was never going to bounce back to life. But amen, but God brought about a new season in my life and God brought some things back to life and he gave me a new beginning because God specializes in springtime. He specializes, amen, in bringing things back to life because our God is a God of resurrection. Come on, am I in an apostolic church tonight? Our God is a God of resurrection. Our God is a God of renewal. Our God is a God of growth. And our God is a God, and listen to me, growth is the evidence of life. How many know growth? I'm going to say that one more time because it's one of the serious points that I want to make to you tonight. Growth is the evidence of life. Things that are alive do not stay the same. Come on. Hear me tonight. Things that are alive, Brother Joe, do not stay the same. They progress. They grow. But things that are dead begin to, things that are not growing are dying. Huh? Come on. And that's just the way it is. Amen. Growth is the evidence of life. One of the first signs that something is alive is that it begins to grow. Healthy things grow, church. That's what they do. Healthy marriages grow. Healthy children grow. Healthy churches grow. Healthy trees grow. Healthy plants grow. And listen, have you one of those tree doctors come over to your house and let him miscut your tree and watch and see if that thing don't die. Healthy trees grow. Healthy trees bloom. Amen, because that's what healthy things do. Growth is a sign of life. And healthy Christians grow. Come on. Come on, we all should be looking, beholding as the disciple said, beholding as our face in a glass. We should be looking at ourselves. Am I growing? Am I progressing? Am I growing in Christ? Am I doing what God wants me to do? Because healthy Christians grow. All right? Healthy Christians grow. And God never intended for us to remain as spiritual infants. Woo. That only got me two amens. So I'm going to say it again until I can get five. God never intended for us to remain spiritual infants. God always, everything God created, he created it to bloom. He created it to grow. Amen. And healthy Christians should grow. Peter told us in 1 Peter 2, as newborn babes, we are to desire the sincere milk of the Word of God. Amen. That we may grow thereby. The Word of God is for your growth. Huh? Tuesday night Bible study is for your growth. Huh? Now, that ain't to say that you always take advantage of it. But it's there for your growth. Amen. Tuesday night Bible study is for your growth. Amen. The Word of God is for your growth. Peter told us, amen, to desire the sincere milk of God's Word as spiritual babes that we may grow thereby. As the children of God, Sister Gail, we should desire to grow in the Word of God. We should desire to be more like Jesus. We should desire to grow in the body of Christ and support the body of Christ and to become a pillar in the body of Christ. God didn't design any of us to remain spiritual infants. And let me tell you something. Just as no matter how bad you want it, I've heard many people say, I wish I was little again. I wish I just had to count on mom and dad again. Come on, all you adults, you know exactly what I'm talking about when the bills start hitting. Come on, and things get hard to pay, Brother Jediah. Come on, and you have your own children, and you're having a hard time providing for them. And you have your own bills, and you're having a hard time making them. It's easy to say things like, I wish I was just little again, where I didn't have all these problems and all these headaches. But sure enough, as we're standing and sitting in this place tonight, you cannot remain a child all the days of your life, and you cannot remain a spiritual infant all the days of your life in the church. God intends for you to grow. Woo! Come on, God intends for you to grow. And part of your growth is understanding that God operates in seasons. He operates in seasons. You're going to have winters. Come on. You're going to have long, hard winters. And if you've been in the church very long, you know what I'm talking about. You're going to have moments, Sister Amy, you don't know if you're going to make it. You're going to have moments you're going to really struggle and you're going to fight and you're going to scratch and you're going to claw and you're going to do everything you can just to stay in the church. You're going to have springtime where things come back to life and you experience revival and God is blessing you. You're prospering financially and your health is good. Your family's doing well and everything is going just the way you would love it to go. It's a time of growth. It's a time of plenty. You're going to have spring times. You're going to have summer times. Amen. Where you're maintaining, where you're working, where you're laboring, where you're just taking care of everything. You're creating disciples. You're paying the bills. You're doing the normal things. You're going to have summer times. You're going to have fall. You're going to have time where things begin to taper off a little bit. You're going to experience seasons in your walk with God. Amen. And we got to understand today that God operates in seasons. And God never intended for us not to understand this. He wants us to understand tonight that He operates in seasons. Amen. And He operates in seasons so that we can understand that we will go through different phases in our life. All right. One of the first signs of something being alive is that it begins to grow. Healthy things grow. Can you say amen? Healthy things grow. And God never intended for us not to grow, and God never intended for us to not understand seasons. So Peter teaches us that we are to desire the sincere milk of the Word, and as we grow as a babe in Christ, we will graduate from the milk to the meat. The strong meat of God's Word. Amen. How many know the Holy Ghost was never given unto us simply so we could say we had an experience with God? Come on, he's not interested in just giving you a single experience so you can go right back to your misery and you can go right back to your default that your life is in. No, God was never interested in giving us a single experience. God is interested in giving us His abiding presence in our lives. That's what God is interested in. That's why He went to Calvary. That's why He was buried in a borrowed tomb. That's why He raised on the third day so He could empower His church and come back as the Comforter, the Holy Ghost. Amen. Empower His church. The Holy Ghost was never meant to be a single experience. Come on, man. We believe in the doctrine of the new birth. We believe, amen, in the Pentecostal experience. But can I tell you today, a single experience is not going to get you to heaven. Come on. A single experience will not get you to heaven. It's going to take a whole lifetime full of experiences to get you to heaven. It's going to take a whole lifetime full of seasons and droughts and blooms and all of these things. There's going to be ups and downs. There's going to be mountains. There's going to be valleys. There's going to be good times. And there's going to be bad times. But one thing's for sure, God will be faithful in every single season of your life if you just hold on to his unchanging hand. Because healthy things grow and healthy things go through seasons. How many know sometimes it's God's will that there be a pruning? Come on. How many know that sometimes it's God's will that he get rid of some things in your life? Huh? You can't always have a full bloom in your life. I can take you to my house right now, and I can take you to a couple of little trees out in the front of our house that we love. And I don't always do the best job pruning them. Full transparency. And the other night after the storms, I come home and I noticed there was a couple of branches, Brother Mike, that was too long. And the weight of the water in the bloom had broken the branches down. How many know sometimes God has to put us through a pruning process? Sometimes, if you ever notice, when something grows out so far, amen, it begins to rob from other parts. And you got to have some balance in a tree or in a bush or in a flower. And if you don't get rid of all the little dead stuff that's hanging all over the place, it'll begin to rob the good parts. So God has to put us through a pruning process because God operates in seasons. And we cannot always live in full bloom. Because God knows what we need, and God knows how to make us healthy. And I have had plenty of seasons in my life where I didn't understand the season that I was in, Brother Joe. I didn't understand why I was going through what I was going through. But in time, as I trusted God and I put my faith in God and I held on to the unchanging hand of God, the season began to pass and God began to bring forth the bloom. Church, God operates in seasons. Come on. The Holy Ghost was never given to us to be meant as a single experience. The Holy Ghost was given so that we could continually learn to be more like Jesus, to follow after him, to be more like him, to be his voice in the earth. Come on, listen. Some people have been in the church for 20 years and have not grown a lick. Church, I'm telling you, that is not God's plan for you. That is not God's plan for you. God wants to prune you. God wants to bloom you. God wants to get some rid of some stuff off of you. God wants you to experience every season so you can understand that he operates in seasons. You know why people don't grow? Because growth requires submission. Come on. I'm pastoring for a moment. Brother Don, growth requires submission. If you really want to grow in Christ, you got to be willing to let Christ prune you. You got to be willing to let Christ speak to you. You got to be willing to let Christ chasten you. Amen, because growth requires submission, growth requires pruning, growth requires feeding, growth requires staying connected to the vine even when the storm comes or the drought comes. You got to hang on to the vine. That's what growth requires. You're not going to experience growth if you don't endure the seasons. Church, if we stay connected to the Lord, growth is inevitable. Because a rising tide lifts all boats. And let me tell you something. There ain't no greater rising tide than the Lord Jesus Christ. If you tie your life to his kingdom and his boat, come on, a rising tide will lift all boats. If you stay in the church, if you stay in the Lord, if you trust in the Lord, in every season, growth is inevitable. It will happen. Can I tell you, something is growing in you. Oh, yeah. It might be flowers. And it might be poison ivy. I'll show you some right now. grows everywhere, gets a hold of everybody. Come on, the wheat and the tare grow together. And in the end, the Lord separates. The Lord does the separating. Huh? But listen, something is growing in you right now. Either you're growing in Christ or jealousy's growing in you. Or unfaithfulness is growing in you. Come on, either faithfulness is growing in you or unfaithfulness is growing in you. Come on, either trust in God is growing in you or for distrust in God is growing in you. Either trust in your leadership is growing in you or distrust in your leadership is growing. But I promise you, something is growing in you. Because nothing stays the same. It cannot stay the same. Nothing stays the same. Something is growing in you right now. The question is, what is it? The question is, what is growing in you? That's a question that each of us need to be asking ourselves right now. Church, something is growing in us. And growth requires seasons. Growth requires submission, pruning, feeding. Growth requires staying connected to the vine. Amen. Even in the storm, even in the drought. Amen. It's amazing how God puts resiliency in things. Every year, we watch our flowers at the house. Not long ago, we was away on a little trip, and I'll just say it. My daughter, Destiny, didn't do the best job of watering the flowers. We come back, my wife says, man, she let my flower in my sister's pot die. Sure enough, we put some water in that plant, Sister Amber, and that thing began to bloom again. It's amazing the resiliency that God puts in us if we just hold on in those seasons. If we just hold on even when we're struggling, even when we're feeling weak, even when we feel all hell is assailing us, if we just hold on to the unchanging hand of God, it's amazing the resiliency that God puts in things. If we just hold on, God will bring about a new season in our life. Amen. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. We got to stay connected to the vine. We got to stay connected, Brother Eric, to the Lord. Amen. Jesus made it very plain. He said, without me, you can do nothing. But through me, you can do all things. You can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthens you. Amen. There is a resiliency that God has put in every born-again child of God. Amen. Who has been filled and engrafted into the body of Christ. You have a resiliency in you. Don't sell yourself short. You can make it through the hard time. You can make it through the drought. You can make it through the storms. You can make it through the controversy. You can make it. You can make it. You can make it because God designed you to make it. God designed you to make it. He put resiliency in you. Our Bible tells us a brother is born for adversity. God created us to handle, Brother Joe, tough circumstances. Huh? God created us, amen, to be able to accomplish great feats. Amen. He didn't create anything that was not worth creating. God put a resiliency in you, so don't sell yourself short today. Just submit to God. Just understand there's seasons that God's going to put you through, and it's so important for every child of God to understand there's going to be seasons in your life. So Jesus reminds us, with me, you can do everything. Without me, you can do nothing. Stay connected to me. Amen. Stay connected to me. Church, if we stay connected to Him, growth is inevitable. We're going to grow. Sometimes we don't realize that we are growing. Sometimes the seasons that we're in and we don't understand what we're going through, we don't realize that God is doing something in us. God is creating something amazing in us. God is creating a resiliency in us. I look back over my life and I think about the times that I was in the position that Brother Jason was in. I remember for a year solid, I struggled with back pain. pain down in my leg, pain down in my foot, pain around my ankle, pain in the bed, pain in the truck, pain on the job. Pain would not leave me alone. And for a whole year of my life, I struggled every single day, every single moment. I could not get away from the pain. I could not get away from the pain to the point it began to get in my head. And I began to get depressed. Amen. And I began to say, God, why am I going through this? And now when I look back over my life, I understand it was a season that I was in. Come on, I was headed in the wrong direction, so God put me in a season. And God said, you're not going to go that direction, even if you got to suffer for a little while. I'm going to put you back on a highway. I'm going to put you back on my plan for your life. I'm going to put you back where I want you to be. I mean, I look back over that season of my life, and it was one of the greatest things that ever happened to me in my life, Brother Timmy, because God stopped me from making one of the greatest mistakes of my life. Church, God operates in season. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing, but through me, you can do all things. Stay connected to the Lord and your growth will happen. Church, spring is a season of new flowers, new songs. Come on, new beginnings. Spring is a season of new converts in the church, new beginnings for people. Amen. That's what spring is. Spring, every spring, farmers prepare their soil. You know why? Because they expect life. There ain't a single farmer that puts a single seed in a single piece of ground that doesn't expect that it's going to grow. And we should be the same way in the church. It's our job, Brother Joe, to plant the seed. God will send somebody to water the seed, and God himself will give the growth of the seed. But our job is to plant the seed, and we're to do it by faith. We need to understand, if we plant seeds by faith, God will give the increase. Not a single farmer plants a single seed and does not expect it to grow. They expect life. Amen. They don't expect that seed to fail. They don't plant that seed and say, this is never going to grow. They don't plant that seed and say, there'll never be a piece of corn on this. They plant that seed by faith, understanding that in a few months, they're coming back with a John Deere, and they're going to feed all kinds of people because they sowed something. And I'm here today to declare to the church, we need the same kind of faith today, and we should have new converts in the church. We should have new believers in the church, and we should be sowing seeds of love in the church today, expecting God to give the increase. Not a single farmer doesn't plant by faith expecting things to grow. And we should do the same as the church. The church should always expect new souls. The church should always be planting new seeds. The church should always be investing in people. Amen. Jesus told us in Matthew, amen, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. The laborers are few. Come on, I'm always going to give an increase, he said. I'm always going to bless what has been sown. Amen. But we got to do the sowing today. The harvest is plenteous. Every empty seat in this church represents somebody that Jesus died for. Come on, every empty seat in this church represents somebody in your family. You should be down on your knees seeking God for, seeking God to touch them, seeking God to open their eyes, seeking God to renew them, seeking God to be, for them to be born again and baptized in Jesus' name and filled with His Spirit. Every seat in this church, come on, I'll never forget when we was leaving the other building. Amen, we had a little fundraiser. And we asked people, amen, to buy some seats in expectation that God was going to fill them with your family. That's the kind of faith I'm talking about today. We need to have faith that God is going to do it. And we need to plant seeds using that faith. Amen. Every seat, every empty seat in this place represents somebody's son, somebody's daughter, somebody's husband, somebody's wife. Somebody's neighbor, somebody's coworker. There's somebody in your life that God wants you to speak into. There's somebody in your life that God wants you to reach. Amen. The church should always expect new souls. Amen. The first century church never lost its expectancy for growth. And I come to tell you, we as the 21st century church should not lose our expectancy for growth. We should believe that God is going to fill this place up. We should believe that God is going to save what we think is the unsavable, because I've seen him do it. And the very ones that you think God will never get a hold of is the one that will be sitting next to you in the house of God. And the very one that you think will always be sitting next to you is the one that will be gone next service. But we must always come and we must always be filled with expectation that God is going to do something amazing. The first century church was filled with expectation. They preached, they worshiped, they prayed, they sought God, they witnessed to the lost. They went from house to house breaking bread. They fellowshiped with one another. And you know what the Lord did? The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Huh? The Lord added to the church such as should be saved. Spring church is a season when the church should intentionally reach for new converts. Huh? You're not always going to have a season of planting. Sometimes you're going to be in a season of harvest. Sometimes you're going to be a season of maintaining. Sometimes you're going to be going through a season you don't understand why you're in it. But God operates in seasons. And spring is a season where the church should be reaching for new people. A growing church is a healthy church because healthy things reproduce. God help us if we ever lose the mindset that we are to reproduce. And we are to win the lost. Every believer, every child of God should be a soul winner. Now that won't get you a whole lot of amens. Because some people are just comfortable thinking that they're going to make it to heaven and they ain't worried about nobody else. I come to tell you, you're lost already. I come to tell you, God did not design a single disciple with that mold. Amen. Every single child of God should desire to be a soul winner. And you should care for the lost. Amen. We should care for the lost. We are not called to just occupy a pew. We are not called to just occupy a chair. We are called to influence people. We are called to win the lost. Amen. And spring brings a beautiful renewal. How many get excited when new people come into the church? Come on, I do. I get excited, man. I get excited. Boy, I tell you what, I've been enjoying having Brother Jacob and sister and his mama, Sister Jamie, at Mexican on Tuesday nights after service. You know why? Because I get excited about new people coming into the church. I get excited when I see people seeking God. I get excited when I see Faith Ann bringing those boys in here and Sister Connie walking through the door with her. I get excited when I see God reaching into people's lives and making a difference in their lives. We should get excited. These things should drive us. These things should drive us. We should love springtime. We should love new life. We should love new growth. We should love new birth. Amen. Church, spring is a beautiful time. When God brings life back into difficult situations, man, it's a beautiful thing to behold. Look, maybe you're here today and your spirit has felt like you've been in a long, hard winter. I've been there. Maybe you're here today and you feel like you've been fighting a battle that seems like, Brother Bry, it's never going to end. I've been there. And let me tell you something. If you ain't been in the church long enough, you will be there too. Come on, you will be there too. Maybe you walk through the doors tonight and the Lord is absolutely blessing you to the hilt. Maybe you got money in the bank. Maybe you're healthy. Maybe your family's doing well. Maybe everything is wonderful. You're in a different season than somebody else is. Maybe you're struggling. Maybe you're maintaining. Maybe you're discipling. Maybe you're planting. Maybe you're harvesting. There are different seasons, and people are in the midst of different seasons. But one thing's for sure, God is faithful in every one of them. God is faithful in every single one of them. Church, we need to understand tonight that God operates in seasons. Maybe you feel like you've been in a long, hard winter. Maybe prayer has been difficult. Maybe study has been difficult. Maybe being faithful to God has been difficult. Maybe worship has become routine. Anybody ever been there? Don't lie. You've been there. You've been there. You've been there when it took everything you had just to clap your hands. You've been there when it took everything you had just to open your mouth and say hallelujah. You've been there when it took everything you had to get out of your seat and walk up here and pray. You've been there, you've been there, you've been there, because God operates in seasons, and we're all going through seasons. Every single one of us. The joy you once had seems so distant and seems so far away, and you feel like God just cannot be reached. You've been there. Don't lie, you've been there. We've all been there. We've all been through difficult seasons in our life. Amen. You've been there when your joy seems so distant from you and the Lord seems so far from you. You've not quit serving God, but you've stopped flourishing and you stopped growing, and you understand that you're at a standstill. But hear the word of the Lord today. The winter is past and spring is right around the corner, and God's about to turn you into a new season, and God's about to bring life to what you thought was dead, and God's about to re-flourish some stuff. God's about to bring life into some stuff, because God is able to restore what discouragement has stolen. Huh? God is able to restore what we think was lost and we could never get back. David prayed unto the Lord. He said, restore me unto the joy of thy salvation. He understood that winter takes some stuff out of us. Raise your hand if you know the winter takes some stuff out of you. Come on, a long, hard winter will take some stuff out of you. Man, you'll feel cooped up in the house. You'll just want to get, how many said, I just can't wait to get outside. I just can't wait for this weather to turn around. Come on, it's the same way in the spiritual. You start to feel cooped up, and you just want to get out, and you just want to experience God again. We go through seasons in our life. Amen. We go through seasons in our life. And David prayed unto the Lord. He said, Lord, restore me unto the joy of thy salvation. He understood that winter took some stuff out of him, but spring brings life again. David didn't ask for another salvation. He just asked for God to renew the joy of his salvation. Huh? You don't need a new salvation. You just need God to restore you. You just need God to bless you again. You just need God to touch you again. Amen. And sometimes God doesn't have to give us something new. God just needs to breathe a fresh breath into us. Sometimes God, Brother Joe, God just needs to touch us. Sometimes God just needs to breathe into us. Hey, let me know, one word from God will change your life. One word from God will change your circumstance. One touch from God will change everything that you're going through. I've seen so many people, I've seen their situations turn around in a moment. Amen, because God touched him. David asked, Lord, just renew my joy. Create in me a clean heart. Renew in me a right spirit. Lord, just renew my salvation. Come on. I ask you this question. How hungry are you? Because revival begins when people get hungry. How hungry are you? Are you hungry for God's word? Are you hungry for prayer? Are you hungry for revival? Are you hungry? Are you hungry for the good things of God in your life? Are you hungry for worship? Because spring begins when spiritual hunger begins. We got to be hungry for the things of God. Church, nothing paints the beautiful picture of spring better than the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Come on, new life, raised to life again. That's what the Lord does in us. He raises us to life again. The stone was rolled away. Death was defeated. Hell was conquered. The grave lost its victory. Amen. And when Jesus arose, guess what? Hope came up with him. Come on, your joy came up with him. Huh? And the same power that raised Jesus Christ, amen, is the same power that's going to lift you out of this place when the Lord calls his church home. The grave lost its victory. Come on, the same resurrection power that raised Jesus from the grave is available to you today through the empowering of the Holy Ghost. God wants to fill you with His Spirit today. If God can raise a dead body, He can resurrect a dead dream. Come on. Come on, somebody. If God can conquer the grave, He can restore a broken marriage. Come on. If God can call Lazarus forth out of the grave, He can change your diagnosis. God is able to do it today. If He can defeat death, He can take away your loneliness. How many know it is possible to be in the church and be lonely? If He can resurrect the dead, He can take away your loneliness today. He can fill you with His Spirit. Church, we serve the God of springtime. We serve the God of new beginnings. Stand with me as the musicians come quickly. I've outwore my welcome. Can I tell this body tonight that God does not ask us to choose our season? In fact, God doesn't even give you the opportunity to choose your season. You don't get to choose your season. God doesn't ask us to choose our season. God just asks us to remain faithful in our season. Whatever season you're in, God wants you to be faithful. God wants you to be faithful. Some seasons are for growing. Some seasons are for sowing. Some seasons are for pruning. Some seasons are for harvesting. You're going to find yourself in many different seasons. But every season is directed by the Lord. Every season has purpose for your life. I'm talking to you tonight about spiritual seasons. Every one of us, right now, today, this moment, is in a spiritual season. Everybody, under the sound of my voice, you're in a season. Right now, what are you going to do with your season? What are you going to do with the opportunity that God has given you right now to trust Him, to be faithful to Him? Every one of us are in a spiritual season. Some have just come through the winter. Some are barely holding on. Some are beginning to see the signs of spring. Some are seeing the beauty of God in their life right now. Some are seeing new beginnings and new life. Come on, some are experiencing fresh growth in their life. Others are witnessing the miracle of new life. Amen. But wherever you are today, God's calling you to grow. Every season is for God's purpose. Every season is for your growth. Every circumstance you go through, come on, don't settle for yesterday's experience. Come on, if there's one thing that bothers me, amen, it's the fact that people come to an altar and pray, and people pray with them, amen, they have an experience or an encounter with God, and they think that that's it. No, it's a beginning, not an ending. Come on, it's a journey that you're embarking on, and that journey will be filled with many seasons. So don't settle for yesterday's experience and don't stop with yesterday's blessings. God has more for you. You got to keep on growing. You got to keep on praying. You got to keep on believing in God. You got to keep on trusting in God, even when you're going through a season that makes you uncomfortable, because God is not finished with you yet. Come on. Until you take your last breath, God is not finished with you. And the same God who causes flowers to bloom after a harsh winter is able to bring new life where there has been barrenness, where there has been struggle, where there has been pain, where there has been disappointment. God is able to bring new life. God is able to do it. I wonder if there's anybody here today who's ready for God to bring about a new season in their life, to bring about some springtime in their soul. Who understands that God operates in seasons, and every season is to His glory today. God is doing something amazing in you today. The Lord is calling us, rise up. Come on, rise up. As the psalmist said, the winter is past. Come on, the winter is past. The rain is over. Come on, it's a new season, and God wants to bless you. Come on, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ is still at work today, and God is able to bring forth a bloom in your life today if you just trust Him through every season. This is a season of growth to God. Come on, every season, to God be the glory. To God be the glory. Whatever I'm going through, Lord, let it be to your glory. Let it be. Let, come on, everything works towards the good of those that love the Lord and put their trust in Him today. It's a season of renewal. It's a season of growth. It's a season of resurrection. The psalmist said the winter is past. Spring has come. Come on, let's respond to the voice of God tonight. You're in a spiritual season. It may not be one that has been too pleasant, but you nevertheless are in a season, and God wants to bring you into a new season. But you got to trust Him in a hard season. You got to make it through the winter to ever see the spring. Would you come as we open these altars today if you're looking for a new season? If you're looking for God to touch you, if you're looking for God to bloom you, if you're looking for God to restore you, would you come today? It's a season of renewal. God wants to bring forth life. Amen. Where things appear to be dead. Let's seek the Lord today.